Systemic teaching about Christian life. Subject of this audio: the Gospel of the Promise. Chapter 6. The promise of the Gospel already fulfilled, and that makes other promises of the Gospel available. A very interesting aspect to be observed when the subject of promises is addressed refers to the point that some promises can only be fulfilled if other promises are fulfilled previously, thus generating the dependence of some promises on those that open the way for them so that they can also be fulfilled. A person, for instance, may receive the promise that a title to a particular property will be given to him and that he will be allowed to make free use of that property after receiving the respective title. In this case, the promise to receive the title stands out since the other promises simply cannot become a practical reality without the first promise being fulfilled. Moreover, among the promises that serve as the means for other promises to be fulfilled, we also find those that have already been fulfilled but which should never be forgotten and abandoned so that the path to other promises remains open. The fulfillment of some specific promises causes them to become established as a firm basis or the guarantee for other promises. That is why some promises are distinguished or stand out from others. So, returning to the example of the person who receives the title of possession of a promised property, it is evident that the other promises that were made to the individual are only valid indeed as long as the person remains the owner of the property, losing the other effects if he disposes of the property title promised and delivered to him. Thus, the understanding and recognition of the associations and dependencies that may exist between multiple promises become especially relevant when the theme refers to God's promises made to human beings, for some of them definitely also represent the condition and the guarantee that others can be accessed. If we still look with a little more precision the association that exists between the multiple promises of God recorded in the Scriptures, we can observe that in reality there is a promise, with a particular emphasis, that stands out above others, as mentioned in the following text. Hebrews 11:32-40. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Among all the promises that God has given to human beings and that the Lord continues to give to them, there is an entirely singular and exceptional promise that surpasses the other promises, which is the promise whose fulfillment opened the way for people to be saved for the newness of eternal life in the Lord and for them to live and walk according to God's will for their lives. This entirely singular promise has been promised for centuries and even millennia. This same promise was promulgated partially and initially when only Adam and Eve were still on the face of the earth, becoming further intensified by the call of God to Abraham and Sarah, and which was repeated with the addition of many details throughout the generations that came after the life of Isaac, a son born according to the faith of Abraham and Sarah in the Lord. Among the many promises of what would happen to the human beings, and especially to those who would come to believe in the Lord, God announced a promise that received increasing prominence, precision, and exposure of the purposes associated with it, a point that was briefly exposed by Paul in the speech which he made in Antioch of Pisidia and which was recorded by Luke in the book of the Acts of the Apostles as we can see below. Acts 13:13-41. Now when Paul and his party set sail from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia, and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent to them, saying, Men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Then Paul stood up, and motioning with his hand said, Men of Israel, and you who fear God, listen. The God of this people Israel chose our fathers, and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt, and with an uplifted arm he brought them out of it. Now for a time of about 40 years he put up with their ways in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed 7 nations in the land of Canaan, he distributed their land to them by allotment. After that he gave them judges for about 450 years, until Samuel the prophet. And afterward they asked for a king, so God gave them Saul the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up for them David as king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. From this man's seed, according to the promise, God raised up for Israel a Savior, Jesus, after John had first preached, before his coming, the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. And as John was finishing his course, he said, Who do you think I am? I am not he. But behold, there comes one after me, the sandals of whose feet I am not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, sons of the family of Abraham, and those among you who fear God, to you the word of this salvation has been sent. For those who dwell in Jerusalem, and their rulers, because they did not know him, nor even the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath, have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause for death in him, they asked Pilate that he should be put to death. Now when they had fulfilled all that was written concerning him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead. He was seen for many days by those who came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses to the people. And we declare to you glad tidings, or the gospel, that promise which was made to the fathers. God has fulfilled this for us their children, in that he has raised up Jesus. As it is also written in the second Psalm, You are my son, today I have begotten you. And that he raised him from the dead, no more to return to corruption, he has spoken thus, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Therefore he also says in another Psalm, You will not allow your Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep, was buried with his fathers, and saw corruption, but he whom God raised up saw no corruption. Therefore let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins, and by him everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware therefore, lest what has been spoken in the prophets come upon you. Behold, you despisers, marvel and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which you will by no means believe, though one were to declare it to you. In the above speech, Paul summarizes the central promise of all times. The promise that stood out and stands out over all other promises. The promise which Paul presents as being the Lord Jesus Christ, and this one crucified and risen from the dead by the power of God so that all who believe in him can receive eternal life in the Heavenly Father. Through his preaching, Paul announces that God constituted his gospel as being also the gospel of a promise differentiated from all other promises so that all people would know about it and so that, knowing about it, they could also open their hearts to receive what with such heavenly love was accomplished on behalf of every person in the world. And yet, so that no one might find oneself as a despiser of this unique promise. If we return once more to our example of the promise of the title of ownership of a property, we could, perhaps, or just figuratively, say that Christ is the promised title of the property of salvation and the newness of life in God. 1 John 5:12. He who has the Son has life, he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Christ is the one in whom or through whom all other promises of God for salvation and the newness of life according to his will can be achieved. In addition, the essential understanding of Christ as the central promise of God is also essential for people not to create expectations of receiving other promises from God through unfounded ways. Therefore, if an individual does not receive Christ as the central promise given by God and as the promise that opens the way and grants permission to access the other promises of the gospel, that person can even exercise hope in reaching the other promises of the gospel, but one will be practicing a vain hope with no chance of success until he or she accepts the main promise declared by the eternal Lord. In the book of Galatians, the Lord explicitly shows that the fulfillment of the promises declared to Abraham necessarily passes through Christ. In other words, it is in Christ Jesus that the other promises announced by God to Abraham manifest salvation, the newness of life in the Lord, and may come to be fulfilled in the lives of those who receive the Lord in their hearts. Galatians 3, 16, 22, and 26-29. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ. But the scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. Through his central promise already fulfilled, God promised and gave us Christ, so that in Christ, we can have access to his other promises. Salvation and the life that results from God's salvation can never be dissociated from the Lord Jesus Christ, for God has determined that they should be exclusively in him. The salvation and the novelty of eternal life promised by the Lord cannot be dissociated from the one that God has already given us as the provision and the only source of salvation and life. 1 John 2:25. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. Colossians 1:19-20. For it pleased the Father that in him, in Christ, all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. 1 John 5:11-13. And this is the testimony, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life, he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. The gospel of the promise is the power of God for the salvation of all, equally for the Jew and the Greek, but what should never be forgotten is that the gospel of the promise, concerning the beforehand announced central gift from heaven and already fulfilled by God, is and always will be Christ Jesus, the Lord and Savior of everyone who believes in him. Acts 4, 11-12. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Regarding the promises that God made to Abraham, God also announced that they were associated with the condition of Christ becoming revealed as the King and High Priest according to the order of Melchizedek, the one who, besides being the eternal Savior, is also the only mediator between God and the human beings, and the eternal King of righteousness and peace, as it is more widely exposed in the subject on the Gospel of the Glory of God and the Glory of Christ. Because of his work of redemption demonstrated on the cross of Calvary and the fact that the Lord Jesus was the firstborn from the dead, the inheritance promised to Abraham was handed over by the Heavenly Father to Christ, implying that anyone who wants to have access to the inheritance of the faith of Abraham, whether Jew or Gentile, can only have access to it in Christ Jesus. Christ is the promise already fulfilled by God so that a new life in the Lord and all that is necessary for this newness life can be received by the Lord's manifold grace and through faith in Christ. Galatians 3:13-14. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, "Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree," that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. God made a covenant with Abraham supported by the Lord's promises to be established according to grace and faith in this grace. However, in this same covenant, God also determined that only Christ would be the mediator who would enable access to the promises of this covenant for all who believe in him. Hebrews 8:6. But now he, Jesus, has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. Hebrews 9:15. And for this reason he, Christ, is the mediator of the new covenant, by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. 1 Timothy 2:5-6. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and so many others, were fellow workers by whom God's promises were announced to the nations, but the Heavenly Father established only Christ as the one through whom the promises would be fulfilled and made available to those who believe what the Lord has promised them. Christ's position is so evident in the Scriptures and so decisive in the matter of him being the mediator of God's promises, that it is faith in Christ that also determines whether a person is considered as a true descendant of Abraham before God. Romans 9:6-8. But it is not that the word of God has taken no effect. For they are not all Israel who are of Israel, nor are they all children because they are the seed of Abraham, but, in Isaac your seed shall be called. That is, those who are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as the seed. Galatians 3:5-7. Therefore he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. Galatians 3:23-29. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. Still, in other words, if a person believes in Christ and receives him as Lord, one receives the fulfillment of the promise of becoming a child of God through faith. And if someone is a son of the Heavenly Father, one also is the heir of God in Christ Jesus, in whom is the possibility of fulfilling all the other promises of God to be received through faith in the Lord. 2 Timothy 1:1-2. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, a beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. John 1:12-13. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Romans 8:32. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? The central promise of the gospel of the promise is not land, it is not material wealth, but it is Christ Jesus for everyone who believes in him, for everything necessary for the salvation and the novelty of eternal life is found in the Lord Jesus or the Heavenly Father grants it through Christ. The central promise of eternal newness of life that God announced from the beginning to the world is the living bread that comes down from heaven. John 6:45-50. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father, except he who is from God, he has seen the Father. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. The fulfillment of the most prominent promise ever announced to human beings is found in Christ, in whom all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden. It is the fulfillment that has been revealed from faith to faith in him who makes alive and strengthens those who have been made alive to live and walk according to the Heavenly Father's will. Christ is the eternal gift through which a person achieves the promised gift of reconciliation with God and of being able to be a child of the eternal Heavenly Father. The central promise of the gospel of the promise, the fulfillment of which was revealed in the fullness of time, is the eternal Christ who was crucified and raised from the dead so that the mystery of the centuries can be fulfilled in all who believe in him, whether Jews or Gentiles. Colossians 1:26-2:10. The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end I also labor, striving according to his working which works in me mightily. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now this I say lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. Highlighting this point once again, Christ is the promise that was once promised and has already been fulfilled. The Lord Jesus is the reference of the superior promise or the superior resurrection, and without which, no one can be justified or perfected to receive the other promises of the gospel. John 11, 25-27. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." Christ is the promise of God who passed through death on the cross of Calvary also to be the promise that rose from the dead to be received by faith, so that, from Christ, all other promises and gifts of God may become fulfilled in due time to those who answer the Lord's call to be His. Romans 1, 1-7. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. To all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is the greatest or the key promise announced in all ages. Christ is the promise of antiquity already perfectly fulfilled by God for all generations, because just as God had promised in detail hundreds and even thousands of years before Christ came into the world as the Son of Man, so it also was when his coming was fulfilled in favor of all human beings. Isaiah 53, 1-12. Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him, he was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned, every one, to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth, he was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living, for the transgressions of my people he was stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, he has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul, and be satisfied. By his knowledge my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. John 19, 28-30. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on hyssop, and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, It is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. John 2:22. Therefore, when he had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this to them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures.